Good to see you all. I can think of a few warmer places to be, but I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're here for the reasons that you are here. This morning, a real quick few minutes, and hopefully gain some information and knowledge and things that will help us as we live our lives as Christians. This morning, I want to talk about two sorrows. We all are human. We all make mistakes. We not do everything right. Mistakes can cause other people pain and sorrow, even though we didn't intend it. Mistakes can cause us sorrow or make us sorry for the actions or thoughts that we've had. But sometimes we aren't really sorry for the mistakes. The Apostle Paul tells us there's two types of sorrows, and he explains them to us as he writes his letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul tells the Corinthians about these two sorrows when we sin. If you look at 2 Corinthians 7, beginning with verse 8, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter," Paul had written letters to the Corinthians about the things that were going bad. He says, "I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you are that you sorrowed in a godly manner, what diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Paul tells us that there are two types of sorrow. Each of them lead to different outcomes. Godly sorrow and worldly sorrow are entirely two different things. One leads to salvation, one leads to death. So, how do we know when we're sorrow or sorry, what kind of sorrow we have? Or when we're dealing with others, how do we know what kind of sorrow they have? Is it godly sorrow or is it worldly sorrow? If we look at godly sorrow, it is based upon God and His Word. If I realize I have sinned against God and His law, there's a different angle to looking at the things that make me sorry. Even if no one else knows, if I haven't, godly sorrow, if I haven't faced any consequences for sin whatsoever, I could go through this life and no one would ever know about some of my sins. But what we know down deep is God knows. Whether anybody else knows, whether I have any consequences for it, God knows. Godly sorrow realizes that. Godly sorrow is sorry because he has let God down. He has broken the law. Godly sorrow knows he has disappointed God. Godly sorrow knows that he ignored God and God's laws and then did what he wanted to do anyway. Godly sorrow comes from a good and an honest heart. One example that we do have of godly sorrow in the Bible is when the first sermon was preached by Peter after the crucifixion of Christ in Acts, the second chapter. If we look at Acts 2, read 36 and 37, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were cut to the heart. They knew that something happened that they shouldn't have done, possibly had the ability to change or keep it from happening, but they were at wrong. They were sorry for it. They had godly sorrow. Their hearts were pricked. It means it meant something to them. They were cut to the core. And they brought about this action, and what it brought about on this action was godly sorrow. They then asked those who knew, what should we do? If this great sin has happened, we're sorry for that. We need to change. What should we do? Also, when we look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus tells them that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about finances. He's not talking about people that are poor. He's talking about those who are poor in spirit, and theirs is the kingdom, the salvation. It has nothing to do with how sin affects and helps me. It has nothing to do with spiritual bankruptcy. But it is realizing that you are destitute spiritually. You're at the very bottom. You have broken God's law. You're hopeless spiritually. There is no salvation offered now. You have sinned and have no access to salvation. But then he followed it up with his next comment on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What kind of mourning is he talking about? This has nothing to do about worldly sorrow either. This is spiritual sorrow. It's not talking about people who go to the cemetery and bury a loved one. It's not talking about anybody that has done something that has not broken the law of God. But this, it has everything to do about death, broken relationships, and bad times. This is about the one who realizes their spiritual condition. If they are in mourning over what they know as far as they're not right with God, that is the beginning of godly sorrow. In 2 Corinthians, remember Paul told us, godly sorrow produces repentance. And we all know what repentance is. It's a realization of what I'm doing is wrong, and I'm no longer going to do that. I'm going to stop and turn around and head the other direction. That's repentance. So godly sorrow leads to a change, a definite change in my spiritual welfare. Repentance leads to changing because of God. A changed life leads us to salvation, to Jesus Christ. Now, that is godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is what we probably see most of the time around us. Worldly sorrow is sorrow of the world, and it is not godly. An individual may get caught doing something wrong. He may be very sorry that he got caught. He may get handcuffed. You know, I mean, you possibly have seen it too. I've seen guys along the side of the road who are being pulled out of cars. Handcuffs are put on. They're arrested. They may spend time in jail. They're going to spend time in a courtroom. They're embarrassed that they got caught. His life has definitely changed, but it's not a spiritual change. I'm just embarrassed. I got caught. Oh, the world knows the mistakes that I have made. You know, you can be caught stealing from a company, embezzling. You may have to hire an attorney. Again, there's great embarrassment that comes with that when it gets out in the rest of the world and your friends and your brothers and sisters know about it. You may even lose your job. You're going to face the public for being charged with a crime. Your life definitely has changed. But it's not the change of godly sorrow. You may be really sorry that you put yourself through this predicament, but more than likely what you're sorry for is the change in life and the embarrassment and the things that it's going to change for you, not your spiritual welfare. We all know of people who've got caught cheating on their spouse. You may end up divorced. You probably destroyed your family. Your life has really changed. But it's not the spiritual change. Obviously, sorry for all the embarrassment and pain you have caused, but this is not godly sorrow, this is worldly sorrow, and worldly sorrow does not bring about a change in a spiritual state. You know, and by the same way, or same idea, if you go to a doctor and find out that you got a really bad physical problem, regardless what it is, and the doctor tells you, you got to change some things, such as maybe drinking, such as smoking, abusing drugs, overeating, whatever you're doing, and it, you know, you go to a doctor and he says, if you don't change some things, you're going to die. I had a grandfather who smoked a great deal, and the doctor told him, you keep this up, and you're not going to live very much longer. And it was really amazing to me to see him just totally quit, maybe one or two pack habit a day or a week or whatever it was. I wasn't that old. But it was amazing to see, but that had nothing to do with his spiritual nature. What caused him to change, or what caused anybody to change a bad behavior, when a doctor tells you, it's not based on repentance of sin, but it's based on the fear of dying. I'm going to be gone if I don't make these changes. If you're told, unless you stop your behavior, this marriage is over. You may stop your adulterous acts, but you haven't repented because of God's laws. You just didn't want to be tossed out of the house. There's a reason to stop these things. There's a reason to cause change. But your sins are still before you. This individual will likely repeat the offense, which we often see. You know, things are hot, things are heavy, I'm embarrassed, I'm not going to do this. But then down the road, you hear the same thing happens again. There was no godly sorrow. There was worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow can be filled with guilt and shame, but it doesn't bring the sinner any closer to God. He realized that Jesus was innocent. He returned the money. Oh, excuse me. When we look at Judas Iscariot, as an example, Judas had worldly sorrow. He realized that Jesus was innocent, and he returned the money. He didn't want it. He was embarrassed. He was so anxious, and his life was in such turmoil, he committed suicide. The difference being worldly sorrow. And worldly sorrow brought forth death. Now, that's physical death, but worldly sorrow will also allow spiritual death, or us to be condemned to hell. But back to our original question, if you're looking at two different types of sorrow, how can we know if I am sorry because of God or because of the consequences? Well, is there a pricking of your heart? Is there a conscience inside you that is bothered? Is there a longing to be right with God? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness, we're told, is that we need to be hungry and thirst for righteousness in God's sake. We have to look at our motive. Is our motive driving us to be right with God, or to get away from the consequences that our mistakes caused us? You want to please the Lord, whatever the consequences are, or whatever the punishment is that is coming. In godly sorrow, you want to stand pure and right before the Lord. Your concentration is on my relationship, my eternity, where am I going? Godly sorrow will apologize to those who are hurt. It will let others know this behavior and that it's changed. It will also not try to hide behind excuses, blaming others, or playing the victim card, which we see a lot today. Worldly sorrow is only sorrow because of the consequences that are fixing to hit me. When the consequences are gone, the sorrow is gone. He has not changed on the inside with worldly sorrow, and he's likely to repeat the sin, as we do see from time to time, whether it's drugs, alcohol, not being faithful to a wife. These things tend to turn up again. There was not godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow is with a greater desire to avoid the consequences the next time. I made a mistake, I got caught, but I can still do this, but I got to be careful how I plan this out. That's worldly sorrow. Godly sorrow and worldly sorrow are often well, not often, are totally different. When someone says that they are sorry, it is a fair time for us to ask why. Why are you sorry? Now, obviously, we've got to be careful how we phrase that question. But, you know, are you sorry because you're in trouble? Are you sorry because you hurt someone's feelings? Are you sorry because you have sinned against the Lord? Two types of sorrows. The Apostle Paul wrote about it and told the Corinthians. It will be helpful to us in our spiritual lives to know the difference between the two. Thank you.